for today's episode. We go over, for the topic of the day, parenting and what it means to have true love versus pseudo love, and the implications of that with transgender children, as well as reviewing Proverbs 29:18 about vision, discussing a really fun game that everyone should play with their friends. It's very simple and exciting and very entertaining, as well as a movie and a book I recommend to you. It's all about Winston Churchill and how pertinent it is for our day. It's very inspiring.
You are listening to The Alex Spicer Show, where we like to focus on God, family, freedom, and religion, and discuss the true principles that ensure our happiness and our success in light of current and historical events.
Okay, welcome to The Alex Spicer Show. We're ready to get going. Pretty excited here that we because I am sitting here with my brother. He is being my co-host today. Say hello, Roberto.
Hello, Roberto.
And speaking with a quiet, somber voice as usual. Hopefully people can actually hear anything you have to say.
Yeah.
Maybe if I just tell you to sing, you'll be loud enough. You should just sing all of your words.
No.
So I wanted to change things up a little bit and go over some things that were at the top of my mind. And I was thinking, I had a conversation over the summer with someone that I know from my hometown, our hometown out in Wyoming. And it was just really disconcerting to find out that our hometown was becoming quite progressive in the education system, you know, in the school, because I was talking to someone who is a teacher. They were my coach, and she was explaining how everything has become very progressive there. And there's lots of kids who are identifying as transgender and all sorts of other crazy things.
In Powell,
yeah. And
wait, which teacher was it? Do I know? Or what did they teach?
I don't know actually what she teaches. Because
which coach was it for?
It's my swim coach.
Oh,
but I don't want to name names or anything.
Diving.
Yeah. Let's just pinpoint everything.
Mr. Phelps, yes.
Whatever. And I believe they had mentioned it was either the principal or the superintendent had children that were supposedly transgender. And I think she may have even said that they were going through like transition therapy or something like that. Either way, I was very alarmed to hear that because, well, first of all, as a parent, your number one priority is to properly guide and protect your children. Teach them proper, true things, and also protect them from wildly dangerous, stupid stuff. So, for example, I've got really young kids, and sometimes they will want to jump off of, you know, high heights or stab each other with sharp objects and things like that, where I don't say, well, that looks like fun, doesn't it, Jimmy? None of my kids' names are Jimmy's. I'm just not telling them, telling anyone my kids' names. By the way, I don't permit them to do things that are going to be harmful to them. And I try to inform them and try to proactively prevent them from falling for fads that can be dangerous and bad for their health. But we have parents who are so thoroughly indoctrinated into something that is very, very clearly false and evil. Something that harms their children. They are indoctrinated into this belief that, you know, oh yeah, like if you want to believe that you are the other gender, you can harm your body. You can do things to yourself. You can mutilate yourself to try to shape yourself into that. Here's the thing. When my kids are young, and they are young right now, and they dress up like their favorite Pokemon characters, that's one thing. But if my kids start to say, I am that character, that's who I am, well, then I go, no. No, son, that's not who you are. You're my son. This is your name. And it's really fun to pretend to be that character. But then, you know, at the end of the day, we got to take off the character clothes and you got to be yourself because you are awesome as yourself. You know, more empowering, helping them to see that they are valuable in and of themselves. And parents just, unfortunately, many parents are really sucking at their job nowadays. What do you think, Rob? I'm afraid that a lot of parents get caught up in pseudo love, where they believe that the loving thing to do is to encourage their children to pursue some of these things.
Pseudo love? What do you mean?
Yeah, so meaning...
Talk to me like I'm five.
A five and dumber. No, yeah, it's like that one video. What I mean is, people will claim to do things in the name of love. Like, I love my child, so, and I want them to be happy. So, yeah, I'm going to allow them to take hormone blockers and get episiotomy or something, right? Transform their bodies to line up with this mental illness. But except for, it's not a mental illness. It's a thing. It's real. This is all a social construct, right? And so they all say that they're doing this out of love. Mm-hmm. And but so do other bad parents who are unwilling to punish their children. They say, oh, I just love my kid too much. I don't want to ruin my relationship with them. I want them to feel like I love them, and I want them to feel like I love them and I accept them. Except that's not real love. That's pseudo love. That's selfishness. Parents like that actually secretly are more worried about their own skin, about having conflict or looking like the bad guy, hurting someone's feelings. Mm-hmm. But real love hurts. I mean,
does it?
Yeah, you know, it does.
Yeah. Still looking for that special someone.
Get yourself a cat, Rob. No, well, I think about like growing up. I believe my mom has always loved me. I believe she's always loved all of her children. She's loved us. But I recall her telling us when we were younger, when you turn 18 or when you graduate from high school, you are out of this house. You're going to college. You're paying for your own school. Right? Things like that. Where she's letting us know very clearly that she wants us to grow and expand into new horizons and become mature and independent, right? But
maybe she just told you that.
I remember it very clearly.
I don't remember much though. So.
Is that why you still live with mom?
Yeah, right.
No, but I remember, you know, those boundaries being very very clearly set. You know, parents who actually love their children are willing to do the hard thing and willing to put their children through the hard thing and confront their children on things that are wrong. That's where, you know, I get caught up in getting pretty, I get very riled up when I see parents being so selfish in this way and so indoctrinated into something that is very clearly damaging and harmful. Like, I don't understand how you can't see the negative that this has. You know, it just seems so convenient. I suppose that maybe it's just the easiest path for people to take.
But
I mean, the easiest path for our generation, I don't know if you, did you ever encounter, I remember encountering people who were like my cross-country coaches and other people who would say things like, and I would even have kids my age tell me this exact same sentiment that their parents told them, which was, you don't need to get a job. You don't need to work right now. You have the rest of your life to work. Just do sports. Just do your fun stuff. Don't worry about getting a job. And that was not our experience, though. It was get a job. You're getting a job. Go build a fence, right? Or go work at McDonald's or something.
Sure.
And I thought that was like, okay, that's a very convenient, easy path to put down there. To be like, you don't need to work. You're in high school. You don't need to learn those skills. Like, you have the rest of your life to work, right? And it's so easy for a parent to give their child a cushioned life.
Yeah.
That they're not really ready to be an adult. I think that's why that I hate this phrase. The phrase adulting came about. I hate it so much. I'm like, my gosh, are we really this pathetic that growing up we have a phrase like, oh, I'm adulting now. The second you left home, you should have been adulting.
That's fun. That side tangent, but that reminds me of I went to a few years ago with my old bassist, we went to a songwriting expo in California, and there was a girl, like everyone kind of plays a song that they wrote to get some critiques from people in the industry. Like,
professionals, yeah.
Yeah, like people are like, oh, like I wrote this song for, you know, some...
Fleetwood Mac.
Faith Hill, or I wrote this song for Meghan Trainor, stuff like that, and they would critique the songs. But anyways, yeah, this girl's song was called Adulting, and it was, oh, it was hilarious. It was really cringy, but I mean, it, like, good for her for putting down an effort, but it was like, you know, I did my laundry, no one did it for me, oh, now gosh. I have to wake up and do take a shower or something. I don't know. And then the chorus is like, adulting or something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I couldn't afford coffee on Wednesday.
No, she was a nice person.
Was it meant to be a serious song, or mm-hmm. was it meant to be farcical?
Yeah. It was probably more of like one of her first songs. You know, it just sounds more fresh from the heart.
One of those, God bless your heart.
No.
Bless her heart. Sucked.
But anyways, yeah, that's where I heard the term adulting. So
it's bad. That's very pathetic. Of all of us. Oh man.
I would say that if with the whole trans thing, it feels like everyone else has to LARP, which is live-action role-playing.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is, actually.
So it's like...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's like when kids play make-believe, and you're the mom, and I'm the dad, and it's kind of like that. But when adults do it, it's usually like Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And
those people who are doing it for Dungeons & Dragons, right, who are LARPing... They know that that's not reality. They go and do it for fun.
Right.
It's a fantasy they love to enjoy and participate in, sometimes too frequently. But at the end of the day, they know they go home to their actual life, right. Sitting at a computer, playing a video game or something, right? And maybe they have a job. Yeah. I think that's. Right. But they, at no point do they actually try to pretend it's reality or try to force everyone else to participate in this fantasy.
Right. Yeah. And
we ostracize those people because they're socially awkward, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I definitely don't do it.
I've got friends.
Yeah. So it is weird when you watch the news and it's a guy who, believes he's a girl and dresses up as a girl. And then people, entertain that by saying she when it's actually a he. And I guess I don't know, like, obviously it is a mental illness, so I don't know if it's like, is it more damaging to say no, like, I'm only going to call you by the proper pronoun, or is it more damaging to give them the fake pronoun? And so I don't know.
I think it's extremely more damaging to play along with it in any degree.
Okay.
I mean, like, there's a sense where, out of a respect, you know, people want to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that those individuals who you might do that to are individuals who don't actually have the mental illness. They just have social contagion, meaning they're doing it because they get attention from it, but they actually are not mentally ill in that way.
They feel edgy or something.
Yeah, they get, you know, they feel edgy for doing it, right? Just like goths or emos, you know, trying to dress up in that way. You know, they get a kick out of the attention that comes from it, but in the end, they're not really, like, dark and brooding inside. going back to, it's far more damaging to participate in that. It's because then you'd never encourage them to get the help they need. They will never have a reality that pushes them in that direction, right? Reality is meant to be hard because it's meant to force you to face certain facts, and then hopefully you will make the proper corrections to pursue a better life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if so, that's why it's like, you should take on your own debt and pay off your own student loans and other things like that, because reality is you made a dumb decision, or maybe it's a smart decision to invest in your future, but now own up to it. This is really hard.
But right? I identify as debt-free. So.
I identify as rich. Everyone else should just give their money to me to help me maintain that.
And the bank has to honor my rich pronouns. I don't know.
That's right. The bank should honor that my perception of reality by siphoning other people's money into my bank account. And at no point should there ever be a balance that is unpayable, that I can't pay it as on my credit card.
Right.
No, but it is more damaging. Like, we have a cousin who is schizophrenic.
We do?
Oh my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not related. Nope. We do.
Oh,
and
wink, wink. Yeah, we do.
In what world would we ever say, yeah, those voices, those people are real. Those things you're hearing, they're real. Yeah, I hear them too. How messed up is that?
Yeah.
Like, why would we not do that? Oh, because they could hurt themselves. Or once again, it causes them to participate in a reality that spirals downward in a bad direction. Mental illnesses do not spiral upwards in a positive direction. They always spiral downwards.
Yeah.
Always do. And I've actually been given the excuse before where people say, well, they're not hurting anyone. They're hurting themselves. And their families hurt from this.
That's true. And in society, I would say the idea of live and let live is non-existent nowadays, because of the narrative is very controlled of you have to accept it, and if you don't, you're a bigot, or you're oppressive and mean. Like, I've had friends tell me that
at all times, so, you're guilty until proven innocent. You have to prove your innocence and your virtue.
Yeah, and it's their new morality that they don't just believe, they believe it's pertinent to force others to believe it as well. So if anyone does that, you should freaking baptize their heads in water.
I thought you were about to say acid. I'm like, whoa, man.
No, it's like, if they're going to force their beliefs on you, force yours on them and see what happens.
Well, the problem with this new morality, this new ideology, is that it makes an enemy of anyone who does not believe similarly. People will say, well, that's what Christianity and all other religions do. Not actually, because the Christianity, that religion, mm-hmm. makes an enemy of our own selves, our own natures, mm-hmm. right? And what we say is basically, life is hard. There are weaknesses to overcome, and the Savior is how we do so. We can find reprieve and redemption.
Yeah.
And joy again, rather than being like, people do go about this in this way sometimes, which is, well, if you don't believe the same way as me, you're going to hell, and also you're Satan, right? Well, I mean, that's fine if they tell you you're going to hell, as long as they don't treat you like you are the enemy, right?
Yeah,
I think that's fine, because the difference is, they're saying, well, in the ultimate run of things, you're gonna have a bad outcome. But it's like, but does that mean we can't ever hang out? We can't be friends? We can't be civil to each other? Oh, no, not at all. You're just going to hell. Oh, sounds good. I don't believe that, right?
Yeah.
Instead, nowadays, it's like, especially because it mingles with government power, it's like, believe or else.
Yeah. I had a weird thought experiment. It's not thought all the way through, so maybe you can fill me in.
Oh no.
So let's
stop this right now.
Let's say everyone died in the world except for 100 people, and 100% of those people were trans, but 50 of them were guys who thought they were girls, and the other 50 oh, were girls who thought they were guys. Let's say an alien came down and said, what defines a man? And they would say, well, we pee sitting down and we get pregnant. And then they'd be like, well, what defines a woman? They would say, well, we pee standing up and we impregnate men. so my thoughts are like,
I mean, they've switched exactly.
Yeah. That it goes beyond gender, that it's the definition of being a man is more than just wearing pants and having a beard. I don't know. I feel like there's something in that.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of losing me, but I know what you're what you mean is there.
I mean, you piece it down.
we oversimplify what it means to be a certain gender. It's not just a social construct.
Right.
There, it's more than our physical attributes. Mm-hmm. There are natures to us, and as we believe, right? It is part of our divine identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then.
Oh no.
And then, trick story. It's an illegal alien. No, I'm kidding. Okay, that's all I got. Uh-oh.
They weren't allowed to come into the solar system.
Yeah. That's right. They weren't allowed to vote.
But they got a couple $1,000 for coming in.
That's right.
Let's go, Brandon. Okay. So basically, in the end, be a good parent. Be willing to help your children understand reality, embrace reality, and mature in ways that will allow them to live happy, productive lives. Participating in someone's fantasy does not ultimately lead to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we watch movies about that, right? Where maybe there's a nerd and he's so stuck into believing I'm an elf or whatever, right? Yeah. And then everyone's just kind of like, you're a weirdo and stuff. And then that person faces rejection. They face these hard things. And then they finally discover there's something special about them. They don't have to pretend to be anything else. And they step into themselves as their own self, as a character.
Mm-hmm.
And they do something heroic or courageous or good, mm-hmm. right? And they are the hero of the story. But ultimately, they had to face rejection and reality and go through a character arc. They change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, children need support in facing that reality. That way their character arc leads them in the direction of happiness, because they're not going to be happy unless they are living in reality. I mean, studies have shown that people who have this mental illness, that they will still commit suicide at similar rates, even when they are supported by loved ones who will say like confirm the gender that they identify with, etc., the suicide rates don't really change.
My question is, whether the suicide rates go up or down, does that matter if it's still not in congruence with reality?
What do you mean?
Like, let's say they transition and the suicide rates go down. It's still someone who is pretending to be someone else. It's still unrealistic.
Yeah, it's still not real. And I mean,
I don't know.
That's not true. Suicide rates don't go down when they transition. In fact, they tend to go up. But like, if they did, does that justify self mutilation?
That society should embrace it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, like it's never good to mutilate yourself.
Yeah.
And also, once again, in order for that person to enjoy the reality that they are stuck on in their minds, everyone has to participate in it,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. means that we lose our freedom of thought and our freedom of conscience.
Hmm.
What if it's against my conscience to affirm your version of reality about this whole transgender stuff at all? Like what if for me, like, that is entirely against my conscience? I believe I cannot do that whatsoever.
Yeah.
Should I face consequences for having that freedom of thought and freedom of speech, that freedom of conscience? No. We shouldn't.
Mm.
But that's where this leads to, right? In the end, you oppress all other people to support your la-la land.
I would also add something that really weighs on me that you mentioned is there's always those books for the smart person. The smart person seizes the day, and when it, like, it drove me nuts growing up reading a book and the main character is like, oh, I have a hard life, sad life, also I'm a genius, And anyways, that's all I got. I'm an idiot is what I'm saying. And I didn't connect with it. Anyways, next.
Yeah, moving on. So the scripture that I want to share is in Proverbs 29:18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I think that's very prophetic. So you can take that in a couple of ways. I believe very clearly, you know, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is a that alludes to a couple of things. One in particular is if there's no prophet, you know, if there's not a prophet there, if there's no word of God amongst the people, which is vision, right? Because the gospel is a light into our feet. It provides us direction for the way. It helps us see where we need to go. If there is no vision in that way, we do not have the light of the gospel. We don't have God's truth to guide us. Then yeah, we perish. We start to decline, and we destroy ourselves. I mean, and then in another light, at the personal level, if you have no goals, if you have no vision for your life and for yourself, people perish. People commit suicide. People actually end their lives, or they live a life of misery. There's so much importance to having vision, having something to look forward at, to aim yourself towards. And truths do that in order to enable us to live productive, good lives, right? Because mm-hmm. we all don't have to have the same occupation goals or family goals or anything, but truths that come from God enable us to see clearly what are our rights, right? What is a good way to live? And we can have a civil society.
So what's your vision then?
My vision?
For your life,
yeah. For my life.
Spotlight.
I want to be America's Got Talent winner.
Right. What's your talent?
I can play the rubber band really good. Rubber band. Bang, 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 bang,
bang. Okay. Yeah, I remember those are truths in the Bible. That's right.
Well, here's a really good example.
Okay.
We are declining as a nation. And Western civilization is declining as a whole. Mm-hmm. The further we wander from truths that are found in the Bible, mm-hmm. truths such as the Ten Commandments, it's becoming harder now to say, "Thou shalt not steal." Like, stealing is bad. People have right to property. In California, it's like, do they? I mean, if they didn't steal that much on that occasion, it's okay, right? Things like that, right? Where we start to decline into a decrepit state. Our behaviors, our manners are more animalistic. They're basic. They're uncivil.
Yeah.
There's more unrest. There's more hostility. There's more violence. There's violations of rights. Knowing these gospel truths helps us to know our rights and to live them more fully. And to fight against, you know, laws and leaders who would violate those rights. I think people in California, unfortunately, they super suck. Not all of them, but the majority of them, because they've allowed their leaders to do what they've been doing and turning California into just a dump.
Yeah.
They never should have allowed that. But instead, they go for it. They let it happen.
That's funny. I got a new phone today, and the guy who helped me set it up moved here a year ago from California. He said it was just not a good place to raise a family, and he wanted to go somewhere where you could raise a family. That's a good family atmosphere, and he knew, he said, the Mormons have a good good thing going on here, so he moved here.
We do, yeah. And you find similar outcomes in very religious communities all across the United States. There's a lot of great places similar to Utah in terms of good family environment in the South. a lot of the southern states, right? They're very, very Christian. They're very family oriented, and they hold those values very tightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wyoming's a good place. I kind of felt like we grew up in a town where there were so many churches, and it was, well, a lot of those churches hated us for our religious beliefs, which is kind of a unique opportunity and a privilege, because nowadays it's like all the churches got to bond together to fight off the craziness that society has become now.
Yeah, we really should lock arms, because so I'm of the same mind that we should, and that we probably we're totally doing that. I'm actually finding there's still a lot of enmity between all these different groups, these different
other religions.
Denominations. Yeah. They won't come together, and it's like, are you serious right now?
We need
strength in numbers, because things going down in a hurry. Huh. I've seen that in how some people have treated the Chosen series, because they're like, well, I mean, like, that guy's not my denomination. It's like, shut up. Like,
oh, really?
This is a great TV show. It's not my denomination, and I love it, right? It's great. Yeah. Or this podcast, this guy I was going to interview on my podcast, he has his own podcast. It's a Christian podcast. He's in Canada.
Huh.
The guy was a freaking bigot.
Was he?
It actually really hurt my feelings. I thought I was more mature than that, or at least over that. Because, you know, you encounter bigotry everywhere you go, especially with our faith. But he was going to come on and let me interview him and stuff, and because I thought he had really great ideas to share.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found out I'm a Latter-day Saint, and he's like, oh, I should have done my research and realized that was the case. I can't come on your show, your podcast.
Did you ask him why?
No, I did. No, he pointed out that he didn't realize I was Mormon, and that he wished he had done more research.
Of the Church of Jesus Christ, yeah, Latter-day Saints.
And that he wished he had done that before agreeing and stuff. He needs to be more careful about agreeing to go on people's podcasts. Sorry, I can't do your podcast. So he made it very clear that was why. I'm like,
but he didn't say what he has wrong with our religion.
No, I wasn't going to go into a debate. Like it was just more like, okay, that's completely not Christ-like of you.
Yeah,
I literally gave him the outline. I told him exactly what, like, the things I wanted to talk to him about.
Mm-hmm.
I had no debate I wanted to get. In fact, I don't want any debate. I just wanted to be like, you said something that was really cool about a Christian perspective, and, you know, from the Bible about, I think it was economics or something.
Oh yeah.
And he wouldn't come on.
What's his name?
I'm gonna
beat him up.
Whatever.
In the name of Christ.
I don't want to send traffic to his podcast anyways. It's just like, well, I don't know. I was trying to support him this whole, like, and share his podcast with other people. And after that, I'm like, nah.
Well,
unfortunately.
Well, he lives in Canada, so that's punishment
that's
enough.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's... Ah, sucker.
Poor guy.
Yeah, how the lockdown's treating you?
Oh, jeez, yeah. How's your syrup? Sorry, continue. Anyways, next.
So, a game I wanted to suggest. We've played it a number of times. I've played it with my wife on date nights, and on group date nights. We have friends come over, and it's a lot of fun. It's called Double Ditto. And Christmas time, we had a lot of family together and a huge group of us around the table, and we played Double Ditto, and that was a lot of fun, because basically what you do is you have a card and you have a timer for 15 seconds, and you read off the card,
mm-hmm.
and it gives it's going to give a prompt of like a category or something, and you can write only two answers, and you're trying to write down answers you think someone else will write. That way you match with them and you get a point. And it could be things like... animals that live in water, right? And someone could put salmon, someone else could put fish or whale or shark, but you're trying to match up with someone else and do something someone else is thinking.
Yeah,
that got pretty, it got pretty good with some of these. I mean, there were some pretty awkward answers at times.
yeah, fun playing with the parents. Yeah.
And our siblings.
Yeah, oh man. Our sister's not afraid to make things awkward.
Well, she turned red and was... She couldn't shut up because when she gets nervous, she just starts chattering and and it just gets worse and worse. Like, no, just stop talking now. Yes, that was your logic behind that answer you gave, but that answer was very awkward and no one else thought of it because...
Yeah. It's a pretty fun game.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I highly recommend it. Double Ditto. It doesn't take too long to play. It's very easy to play. And it makes for a very entertaining night. You could do it with three people, four people, but the more people you have, the more interesting it gets.
I would add on to that for any of the kids listening, when I was little, I used to collect Pokemon cards, and there's a Pokemon called Ditto, and I had two of them, also Double Ditto.
Oh, man.
That's all.
If you're looking for a date,
shut up.
Bring your Pokemon card.
I don't have them anymore.
At least not in my bedroom, in my storage locker. I play the app. I sold my cards, but I've totally taught. I've caught a lot of really good Pokemon. Movie. So I want to recommend everyone go see the movie Darkest Hour. Or is it The Darkest Hour? It's about Winston Churchill. It's really, really good. I know I've talked about it in other podcasts, but I really mean it. It's a fantastic movie. So the premise is it goes over the true story of Winston Churchill becoming prime minister right when Hitler... has conquered all of Europe. He's at the edge of the water, and across the water is Britain. It is the island of Great Britain, and they're totally trapped. They don't know what to do. A lot, and there's a lot of pressure on him because, well, back up. The what led to this circumstance was the fact that the leadership. The government leadership of Great Britain, especially the Prime Minister, did not stop Hitler as he was growing his military power. There were a lot of laws, a lot of sanctions against Germany from World War I that prevented them from expanding their military and building their arms the way they did. But they did it anyways, and people would just go, well, I mean, don't do it, please. That really was like their response, and they were... very flattering towards Hitler. And in the end, they saw everything he was doing. They wouldn't do anything about it. The only politician who really had the courage, the gumption to call it as it is was Winston Churchill. Mm-hmm. And now their entire military is in France trying to fight with the French to stop Hitler. And they got totally wiped out. There's 300,000 remaining at Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. They're completely surrounded by Nazis. Mm-hmm. And basically, their army is going to get disappeared. And then Hitler, all he has to do is just travel across the water and take over Britain with really not even a fight. It's a fantastic, fantastic movie because it's riveting. It's intense. Winston Churchill is a fantastic guy. Like if you learn more about him, he is quite a strong character and brave. He is courageous in many ways. As a politician, he was always, you know, willing to think and do what he felt was right, mm-hmm. even if it was unpopular. Mm. And that is what made him the only leader in Britain that Hitler was afraid of. And The Darkest Hour is about basically how he saved Britain from the brink.
Hmm.
It's phenomenal, and it is inspiring, but also makes you worried if you know. I mean, they don't give that much background story about what Neville Chamberlain did and not stopping Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
I know about that, and they allude to it a little bit in the movie. Either way, definitely go see The Darkest Hour. It's very clean.
Yeah, I remember enjoying it.
Yeah, it really was. And if you enjoyed it, that's saying something. Because you don't typically like the movies, especially historical movies that I like. You'll like a lot of other movies. Like, I'll like other movies.
I like history movies. Well, I do. I like World War II stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's new to me. Maybe that's why you like it. But yeah. it's quite fascinating and worth a listen. I think it has a lot to say about our day and where we are as America. You know, in many ways, we are on the brink of self-destruction, though. Not from an outside force, necessarily, but from us conquering ourselves in the worst way possible. Yeah. And we need to have the courage to stand up and to, you know, give our blood, sweat, and tears for the cause of right, of truth.
Yeah, we gotta stop dinking around. You heard me, dink.
What? Okay,
it's late.
Moving on. Book. So the book I recommend this week is actually a Winston Churchill book. It's actually a trilogy. It's called The Last Lion. It's a really, really detailed in biography of Winston Churchill's life. I'm still in the first book. I'm almost done with it. Very, very close to the end. And there are times when, where the book can get a little bit dry, but it's also fascinating because it will go over the events going on that make his roles, his role in the government, because he was in politics basically his whole life. It'll go over things, the context of everything that's going on. Mm. And you start to learn some very fascinating things. You learn about the fascinating culture of England when he was growing up, being raised. He grew up in the Victorian era. When they were still very much into colonization, right? They owned all these provinces. They fought the Boer War in Africa, and he was a war hero. It's very interesting to see him grow into.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm getting very, very close to World War II now. I'm at the point in the book where Hitler is rising to power, and he's like, "I read Mein Kampf, and this guy is nuts," right?
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, "Oh, it's inspiring," And socialism is becoming more popular in Europe, and he's very opposed to socialism, and he's basically losing his popularity, the votes, and even at times is not in the government because no one votes him in. Either way, you should listen to it or read it. I'm listening to an audio version of it.
Is it read by a British person?
It is. Unfortunately, nice. The audio is not very good because it was like read way back in the day.
Oh, so you hear like the page turning and stuff like that?
Sometimes you hear the page turning, but it's like those old microphone where it's like,
"Oh,
and then it's a torture," right? So it's not.
More it takes like radio
you
sounding.
Have to train your ear to kind of try to understand it and hear it. Huh. Either way, though, it's still really good. I'm very excited to get on to the next book because the next book is called like his lonely years, where he is all by himself, and it's also when he becomes prime minister. Yeah. Watch the movie because you'll see how barely into his prime ministry, people are trying to kick him out and replace him because they're like, "Oh, he's way too. He's crazy. He thinks we can fight it out. We should have peace talks and surrender to Nazis, to Hitler."
Man, I want to watch the movie again.
I want to watch it again, like right now.
Can you do any cool British accents, like excerpts from the book?
Yeah, I think there was a part where they said, "Cheerio, governor."
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Yeah, shrimp on the barbie.
tea and crumpets.
Read it. I think the more that you read the life stories of people who have done great things, and they're not perfect, but it will enrich your soul. I do have to say this. I've been really amazed at how I've read a lot of different books of a lot of different historical leaders, and many times they aren't very good fathers or husbands and stuff. He's not exactly the best father because he's so focused on his public life as a politician, but he's a very devoted husband. He never has a mistress or anything. He's like, in fact, it was really hard for him to get married. He didn't get married until he was in his 30s. But once he was married, he was totally devoted to his wife. And they had a very, very special, close relationship. It's just been very encouraging to be like, wow, this guy was, I find him to be very noble, especially at his time period. Many politicians had mistresses, and it was just a very common thing to do. Huh. And he was very faithful. Very faithful.
Is that so, bruv? Bruv.
Hey, what are you saying?
Don't go around the roundabout.
Don't go running around the reroute.
Where's Sherlock Holmes? What was I going to say? Oh, so was it Victorian era? Was it common to have a mistress?
It was very common for people to sleep around with each other. Have a mistress.
Yikes.
Or have parties where they just kind of like, they sleep around and they sleep with each other. And then the next day, the next morning, they pretend like they don't even know each other.
Hmm.
And actually act rude to each other.
Wow.
It was just a thing they did. It's just like, what? Yeah, Winston Churchill had really crappy parents. They
bad.
Really just neglected him as a child. It was actually really heartbreaking to listen to the first part of the book of his childhood years. You're just like, you just feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sent him off to a boarding school, which is very normal to do at the time. But his dad didn't give two craps about him. Mm-hmm. His dad was in politics and stuff. And his mom didn't either. His mom was too busy sleeping around. And enjoying that sort of a life.
Hmm.
Either way, The Last Lion, I forgot who it's by. Read it or listen to it.
The Last
Lion. Enrich yourself with historical figures, especially historical figures who pulled through during very difficult time periods that are pretty similar to our day. And I'd say World War II seems pretty similar to our day, given that there's a lot of world powers making some pretty scary moves that are actually quite similar to World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for listening to the Alex Spicer Show. I really appreciate your time. And
you're welcome.
If you have any recommendations or any thoughts, anything you want to share, you can email me at contact@alexspicer.com. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Please, if you the best way to help this podcast reach more people is to share it, and especially to leave a review. Leave a 5-star review, share your thoughts on it, and help us get the word out there. And one podcast at a time, one thought shared at a time, we can defend our freedoms. We can really make a difference in this world by considering things that can transform who we are as people, transform our culture. You know, there are very important things we need to defend. And if we don't, well, we don't want to go that route. Mm-hmm. Rob, any last words?
No.
Thank goodness. Nope. Stop talking. No, governor.
No, sir. Please, sir, I want some more.
Yes, I'll give you some porridge after this.
That's all I got.
Take care and live free until next time.